Well, good morning, New Life family. Welcome. We're glad you're here. I'm Kent. This is Julie, and we're the Utterbacks.
Yeah, welcome. Oh, it's a good crowd today. We welcome all of you on the patio. Hello, patio people. Also, those of you online. Thank you for being here. We appreciate that.
And for those of you who are new, we would love to get to know you and would encourage you to join us out at the connection booths. We have one in the patio, and we have two in the foyer or hallway. So come on out. We have a free gift as well. So this week's lesson, we're starting out with what is called belonging. And with that, I just sharing a little bit of my testimony on belonging. And that was that a few years ago, I had a loss in my family and had been not really coming to church on a regular basis, but I decided to come back to church. And with that, I wanted to participate in some capacity and serve. And so I thought, well, usher sounds like something I could do. And so when I attended back for the first time, our Joanna came up and just put her arm around me and made me feel so welcomed and so invited that I felt like I belonged to this family, which I belong to this family. So just wanted to share that with you. And with that.
Yes, and as far as the belonging, and as you noticed, you were given a fully alive fall guide. Mm-hmm. And so take a look at that, peruse through it, see if maybe God's got something maybe that you can serve here that God's got on your heart to do. And we would love to have you. On the back, it has lots of opportunities, and it looks like a QR code. Those of you that are internet proficient, and those of you that aren't, come talk to us at the connection booth, yeah. And we'll help you with that. But we appreciate that. So with that, everybody, why don't you stand and maybe say how long you've been belonging here. Maybe you're new. Maybe you're coming back. Whatever it is, we welcome you.
Thank you. the privilege of leading worship at our Raising Kids workshop. And if you were there, you got to see what a blessing it is. And it was such a good reminder of what a blessing and a privilege and an honor it is to come together and worship together as the body of Christ. From our little two-year-olds and our babies in there to parents and grandparents and great-grandparents all coming together, not only to sing songs of praise together, but to pray together, to dance together. So I was just reminded this morning as we came in again that it is just an honor and a privilege to be in this space with all of you to get to worship together as the body of Christ. So I just wanted to read Psalm 100 over us, the same one we read yesterday over our families. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Amen, amen. So let's continue in worship together.
Won't fall.
are worthy of all of our praise. So this morning we come, we bring our offering, we lift our hands, and we just sing that you are worthy.
Thank you. Father, we come to you this morning and we join with all of the saints and angels and bow before your throne. We acknowledge your goodness, your mightiness, your deep love, because you are worthy of it all. All things are for you and for your glory, God. We acknowledge this week that we have taken our eyes off of your throne. Maybe we've listened to voices or answered to names that no longer belong to us. Names like unworthy or misfit or unloved. Father, we acknowledge that we have taken our eyes off you and answered to names that don't belong to us. So would you remind us this morning of our true identity? That we are deeply loved. That is our name. That's the name that we answer to. Accepted, enough. Your child, your deeply loved child, God, would you just allow that identity to seep into our heart and our soul and deep into our mind this morning, God? Would we have no doubt about who we are because of you, Father, because we know that the most dangerous weapon for the enemy is children of God knowing exactly who they are. So God, would you just remind us of that this morning? Remind us that we are yours, that we belong, that we are deeply loved. And it's all because of Jesus that we are able to pray these things and have these new names. So we thank you and we pray in his mighty name. Amen. You can have a seat. I'd like to invite our ushers forward to receive our tithes and offerings today. If you have been around here for a while, you may know that we are in the middle of what we've been calling the Flourish Campaign, where we have been coming together to build the kingdom of God here at New Life on the Central Coast and beyond. And so if you would like a little bit more information about where we're at in those projects, also you may have noticed there's been some work done this week. We've been replacing the HVAC system and we're moving on to the roof soon too. In fact, shout out to our amazing tech team, our tech volunteers, because they have been working in this room that has had no AC for a very long time, and they have AC for the first time this morning, so praise God. It's a little thing sometimes, so thank you for your generosity, church. It's truly just a blessing to be a part of a church that wants to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And if this is your first time here, welcome. We truly hope you feel like you belong, like Kent said earlier, that you feel like you are already a part of the family, because we would love for you to become a part of our family. When it's your first time here, we have a few things that we'd like you to do. First, we'd love for you to just come back. Check us out a couple weeks in a row, maybe. Come a couple different times. Maybe if you came to, you're at the 9 o'clock now, maybe come to an 11 o'clock service, you know. Check us out a little bit more. And while you do that, we would love for you just to get to know somebody, to figure out a little bit more about who New Life is, what we're all about, and to ask God, what are you doing here, and do you want me to be a part of it? Because I'm pretty sure the answer is yes. So we have a really great opportunity for you to do all three of those things today. Today is Crash Course. And so Crash Course is kind of our class that just helps you get to know a little bit more about New Life. You'll also get to meet some people, get to meet our pastor, some of our pastors, and you get to hear just kind of a little bit about our history, where we're headed, how we see God moving here at New Life right now. So that is right after the 11 o'clock service. So you can come back. We'll have lunch for you. We just invite you to come back to that. And also, if you are looking to take a next step, specifically baptism, baptisms are happening next Sunday. We're going to be down at the beach. We're going to be joining with all different churches in the Central Coast. I think it's going to be a really beautiful time just to see God move, because sometimes we can get in our little bubble, and so it's good to see how God is bigger than our church, right? He's bigger than us in our circumstances, and so we invite you to come down to the beach next week, whether or not you're getting baptized or not. But if you do feel like you, God's kind of pulling on your heart and it's like, yes, this is the next step for me. I want to tell people. I want to go public with my faith. Then we have a meeting right after this service in this building right here. So you just stick around and have a meeting, just more information about what to expect, what time to be there, all those types of logistical questions, and also maybe some spiritual questions like, am I ready for this? What does this mean? So if you have any of those questions, stick around. Also, next week is Celebration Sunday, so that means we're also doing child dedication. So if you have a new-ish little bundle of joy that you would like to invite the church into the crazy, awesome parenting journey, you can sign up for that online, and we would love to be a part of that with your spiritual family this week. And so we are kicking off a brand new series, and it's called No Longer Strangers, because we are no longer strangers. We might come from all different sorts of backgrounds, but we are a family, and so I'm excited just to unpack that a little bit more today.
Well, good morning, New Life. Hey, so turn to somebody near you, and I want you just simply to say these words: you belong. They're simple words, right? You belong. They're words that we'll talk about this morning that we ache to hear. You belong. And while we know at some level, or while maybe you grew up in the church or you've heard that this is the case, that you belong, I think it's one of the most difficult things for us to not just know here, but to know here. You belong. And I think the reason it's so difficult and so challenging for us is because every one of us can connect to a time where we didn't feel like we belong. In fact, think about it this way. When was the first time that you felt like a stranger? When was the first time that you felt alone? When was the first time that you were kind of going through life and you realized that you were odd, or you didn't fit in, or you didn't have what it took to be in that particular group? When was the first time that you felt like a stranger? When was the first time that you felt distant from other people, where you realized that, you know what, there's not a space for me here? I describe it like this. Have you ever walked in the room, or maybe you're like me and you can remember walking into a lunchroom space and you're looking around and you're trying to figure out where you are going to sit, and it seems like everybody has saved this seat for someone else except for you. You walk in and everybody in church seems like they're sitting with somebody except for you. You walk into work and everybody seems like they're around the water cooler except for you. You scroll through social media and everybody seems like they're at that party or that sleepover or that celebration, that wedding, except for you. You're thrust into a group of people because your home began to break apart, and now you are supposedly supposed to connect with this new family, and you feel like the oddball in that new family. Everybody seems to fit except for you. You wanted to be a part of a group. You wanted to take that class. You wanted to go to that college, but you were told you weren't smart enough or athletic enough or didn't have the grades. You were told that you were too young or too old. Distant. We belong until we don't feel like we do. Or maybe for you it's something else. One of the reasons why we find ourselves sometimes not belonging is because we collect over time so much shame. Like when you first walk up to somebody when you're a kid, you don't really care about your oddness and your quirkiness or those types of things. And you don't even think, quite honestly, at a very young age about even the things that maybe you have done that are wrong. But something happens as we grow older, as we become more and more aware of our quirkiness and of our oddness, and we definitely become more aware of our shame. Yeah, you'll hang out with me until you know this about me. You'll be a part of my life until I start to share some of my story. In fact, we might even think about it like an iceberg. Like, we are willing to give people what is just above the surface because that's all that they can handle. But if you dip below the surface and you begin to see the ins and outs of my story and my frustration and my struggles, there's no way that you will stick around. You just can't handle it. So for some of us, we go chasing that sense of belonging in other things. Or for some of us, we just say, you know what? If I am good enough, if I am smart enough, if I work hard enough, if I achieve enough, then people will look past those things and I will belong. My guess is that some of us this morning are probably exhausted from trying to belong. We ache to belong, and yet, can I suggest to you this morning that so often we try to meet that ache at the wrong beginning point? You hear people even say, as kids have started school, create a space where people can belong, or you hear people welcome people, or be hospitable, or invite people, or accept people, or create space for people so that they can feel like they belong. And quite honestly, as I was listening to the Spirit and mapping out this series of where I felt God wanted to take us, so much of this series is going to be wrapped around creating that type of space. And up until Wednesday, I was like, hey, we're going to begin kicking off the series with our understanding of what it looks like to create a space for people to belong. But the Spirit checked me. Because we will never be able to create a space where people feel like they belong unless we understand that we belong. The beginning point is not creating space. The beginning point is understanding our relationship with God and understanding that He says you belong. And so, how do we wrestle with this? One of the things I love about Scripture, and one of the things I love about Jesus, is they help us wrestle with these aches that we have. They help us wrestle with these things that we're not quite sure how to wrap our arms around or what to do with the feelings that we are having. And so maybe you've been asking yourself this question very specifically, or maybe you've been asking yourself this question just kind of in the back of your mind, or maybe you don't even realize why you ache in such a way. But here's what I want to wrestle with for a few moments. Why do I ache? Why do I ache to belong? Why do I even care? Why do I care if I feel like I belong somewhere? Why do I care if I walk in a room and people accept me or not? Why do I even care? Well, some clues are in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. The very first thing that you learn in Genesis chapter 1, specifically in verse 27, is that you were created for community, but not just community with one another. Your first connection to community is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, when God is creating, He says, let us. The divine community says, let us create man or humanity in our own image. In the image of God, He created us. Now, when you think about that image, when you think about that understanding of being created in the image of God, what are the characteristics that you think about? Creativity, love, the ability to create, stewardship, dominion. All of these are aspects of the image of God. But have you ever thought about an aspect of the image of God that says you were designed to commune? That you were actually created to commune with God. And what's so beautiful in the first part of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is not only were we created to commune with God vertically, we were created to commune with one another horizontally. Because when God looked at humanity, He said it wasn't good for humanity to be alone. He created us for relationship. He created us to belong. And so one of the things that's really important for us to understand is that you, everybody that is gathered here, And everybody who's not gathered here, everybody who has ever been created, every child, every teenager, every young adult, every adult, every senior here, not just senior in high school, but senior in age, every single person has been created to belong. So why do we ache? Again, scripture helps us wrestle with this. I mean, people can give you all kinds of reasons. I ache because I just don't fit in. I ache because I don't have any friends. I ache because I don't know how to have a relationship. I ache, fill in the blank for you. We can come up with all kinds of different things, but here's the beauty of it, that God reveals to us through scripture how to begin to understand and wrestle with our aches. And so we need to begin with this. We ache because sin has distorted our ability to commune. You don't just ache because you're odd, and you don't ache because of your quirks, and you don't ache because you just can't simply find your people. You ache because of sin. Sin has distanced us from one another. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and I encourage you to read this on your own time, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you begin to discover that there is a fracture that happens in our relationship with God vertically and in our relationship with one another. And for the very first time, those who were created to belong feel shame. Those who were created to belong feel distant. Those who were created to belong don't feel safe. Those who were created to belong don't feel seen. We ache because deep in our bones, we have a memory. Deep in our souls, we have a memory of Eden and that we were created to belong. And yet we face that disconnection because of sin. So what did Eden look like? What did it look like to belong? Real simple definition that you can kind of wrap your arms and hearts around this morning. Belonging is when we are safe, seen, and loved. Belonging is when we are safe, seen, and loved. What it means to be safe. When you feel safe, you operate from abundance, not scarcity. When you feel safe, you're able to kind of be in space and places and know that somehow somebody's love isn't going to run out. It's going to be for everybody else except for you. When you feel safe, you know that there's a seat at the table, that someone saved a spot for you, that you're not playing this kind of eternal game of musical chairs and you can't find a seat, or everybody found a seat except for you and you're out of the game. We feel safe. And in the garden, God created humanity in such a way that when they had relationship with him and relationship with one another in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, they felt safe. They knew they belonged. Scene. The ability to bring the fullness of who I am into the presence of God. The ability to bring the fullness of who I am into the presence of God. See, what sin does is we bring the fullness of who we are into the presence of God, and then we compare ourselves to somebody else. We bring the fullness of who we are into the presence of God, but we leave that part of our story outside of his presence. We'll deal with that on our own. He can't handle that. We bring the fullness of who we are into the presence of God, except, but man, when you can bring all of you, your oddness, your weirdness, your quirks, your sin, your brokenness, and to be loved, to be known by God, and to know God, to be loved. But here's what I've been wrestling with. When we think about what it means to be safe, and we think about what it means to be seen, and we think about what it means to be loved, our first instinct is to go and try to find people that will make us feel seen and make us feel loved and make us feel safe. And when we do that, those people become God to us. Now, that's not saying that we don't create space where people feel loved or create space where people feel seen or create space where people feel safe. But what that does mean is that that is not your primary role, that first I have to receive before that I can create and give. And we live in a culture where everybody's telling everybody to create love, and yet they've never experienced that from eternal God who doesn't run out of the ability to make you feel seen, safe, and loved. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open them up to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Now, some of you who are unfamiliar with church, you're not going to be familiar with the story, and I pray that God would open it up, your eyes and your ears and your heart, to what he wants to reveal to you this morning in just a new type of way. For others of you, your challenge is going to be is that you have heard this particular parable that Jesus teaches 1,000 times. And because you have heard it 1,000 times, you assume that there's nothing that God needs to speak into your life today again with it. But here's the beauty of scripture, that every time we open up the word of God, that he has a meal for us to feast on. So allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning and see things that you have never seen and to hear things you have not yet heard. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, says this: to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had 2 sons. Let me stop there for a moment. Illustrate. What is God trying to illustrate? It's kind of like a therefore statement. And if we don't know when we see a therefore statement, we have to ask what it's there for. Up to this point, Jesus has been talking about how God is collecting lost things. That he is passionately pursuing lost things, or to put it another way, he is passionately pursuing lost people. People who don't feel like they belong, people who feel like they are alone, people who feel like a stranger. But there's another aspect to this passage. Again, if you're hearing for this for the very first time, you're like, duh, why wouldn't anybody not see that? But I can guarantee that there are people in this room that for the very first time, because your Bible says, and it was never put in there originally, but because your Bible has a title above this particular story that says the story of the prodigal son, you never realize that there are actually 2 lost sons in this story. There are 2 sons that Jesus is telling the story about. And so, if you don't find yourself relating to the first son, hang on. You might just find yourself relating to the second son. Verse 12. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. Entitlement is not a 21st century issue. This younger son was soothing his ache for belonging and indulgence in greed. There was something about the home that he didn't quite feel. There was something about his understanding of how he was going to belong. There was something that about his understanding of what he needed to feel complete, to feel that he fit in, to feel that he was okay. And so he went looking for this. And it was elusive. What he went looking for was elusive. Where has your ache for belonging taken you? Where has your ache for community taken you? What are the places that you have found yourself in? We're the spaces that you were never supposed to end up, that you ended up because you were looking for somehow to manufacture a sense of belonging. Verse 14. About that time, his money ran out and a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger." When we chase belonging in any place or person other than God, we just find brokenness. When we chase belonging in anything or any person or any place other than God, we just find brokenness. Did you ever notice that when you chase belonging and then somebody disappoints you, or what you thought was going to give you belonging doesn't quite measure up, that actually instead of feeling just a little bit less belonging, you actually feel more lonely than ever before? More broken than ever before, more shame than ever before, more hurt than ever before. Verse 18. "I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" Notice what happens in the text. That this individual who's wandered away from home and squandered their wealth and trying to find a sense of being loved and trying to find a sense of value and trying to find a sense of belonging, that there is distance and there is shame that is caused here. And he utters these words, "I am no longer worthy of sonship." And so here's what happens when we realize that our sin is the depth of our sin and our brokenness and our shame and our hurt and our sorrow. We think we can achieve ourselves out of it. All of a sudden you have this individual who says, no, I'll go back home, but rather than seeing myself as a son who belongs, I'll see myself as a hired servant who will get kicked out of my house if I don't do what the master tells me. Completely missing that you belong because God created you, that you have intrinsic value, that God created you and you are his beloved. Verse 20. "So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe into the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for the son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now is found.'" So the party began. Again, I've talked about this before, but in case you've never heard this story, don't imagine that this is just some sweet story of somebody walking home. This is a story of a father who wanted the son to belong, who loved the son so much that he was willing to shame himself in order to create space of belonging. This was not just two people in a field with wheat running towards each other in slow motion. This was the father who, in order to run towards his son, would have had to hike up his cloak and show his bare legs. Now, to you and I, that means nothing, but in Jewish culture, that was a complete embarrassment. This wasn't a large city where nobody knew each other's business. This was the five cities. where everybody knew the shame of what had taken place and knew the father's business and knew this son. And everybody probably was peeking out their windows going, Look who came home. If that was my son, I tell you what. And you have this father who runs out to his son. And you have this son who brings all of himself. He doesn't quite understand what's going to happen. He thinks that he's going to be the hired son, but he brings all of himself into the presence of his father. What I mean by that is he doesn't say, God, Dad, I came home. Don't worry. I didn't do anything all that bad. No, he said, I sinned against you. I sinned against heaven. I messed up. He brings all of himself into the presence of his father. I love what Sarah Westfall says about this. She says, our belonging is rooted in being seen by the God who created us out of dirt, but is also willing to get down in the dirt with me. He created us out of dirt. He said, man, this is what I have for you. This is what I want you to be. This is who you are, and you belong with me. And then when we walk away and we squander ourselves, when we try to chase belonging in other ways, he doesn't shame us. He gets down in the dirt with us and says, you still belong. You still belong. I love you. Can you picture it? But don't just picture a nameless prodigal. Picture you. God's gaze catching your gaze. And in his gaze, he says you are valued. In his gaze, he says you are loved. In his gaze, you want to look away, don't you? Now, some of us are good with compliments. Some of us are like, yeah, tell me more, right? You know who you are. Some of us are really uncomfortable when someone starts saying, man, you're awesome, you're good. Like, oh, no, I'm really, well, I'm not really good. Well, it's just God in my life, right? When the Father has your gaze, he says you are loved. Don't turn your head. When the Father has your gaze, he says, you are beloved, you are valued. Don't look down. When the Father has your gaze, he says, my grace is sufficient. Don't look away. When the Father has your gaze, he says, I created you, I knit you together. You are wonderfully made. Don't blow off the comment. When the Father has your gaze, he says, you belong. I don't think it's a misstep or a misquote. I don't think that somehow God got it wrong. That one of the very first times, the first time, that somebody in the Bible names God, she names God Elroy, the God who sees me. Because I think that there is so much about sin and so much about our brokenness and so much about our self-worth and so much about how we understand value and so much about what we've experienced rejection from other people that we go through life thinking, well, there is no way I can ever belong. And even in spaces where I should belong, I still feel alone. And so in Genesis chapter 16, Hagar, who is in a really gnarly situation, again, go read it on your own. Genesis chapter 16, she's invited into a really odd and weird and messed up situation. Abram and Sarai can't have children. And so as the maid servant, Sarai hands Hagar to Abram says, have a child with her. And then she gets really ticked off at the fact that she conceives. And so she's put out on her own. She wanders into the wilderness and somehow has this radical encounter with God. And I'm praying this morning that some of you can have a radical encounter with God where for the very first time, maybe you say these words, Elroy, the God who sees me. The God who sees me. Your lostness, our lostness, is no match for the presence of God. Your darkness is no match for the presence of God. Why have we made it so complicated? Because there was a beautiful little song that many of you maybe have learned when you were growing up, and it simply said this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. No, you don't know. You don't know what I've done. Yes, Jesus loves. But I'm not good enough. Yes, Jesus loves me. I haven't done enough. Yes, Jesus. I mean, it's simple, right? And yet it's so hard. It's so hard to feel and experience and to know, not just here, but to know here. When was the last time you positioned yourself in a place where you could hear God say, I love you. I love you. And in verse 25, it shifts though. It says this: meanwhile, the older son was in the field working, and when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And wouldn't you be excited? Yeah, not him. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours, notice how he doesn't even say brother, this son of yours comes back. Do you ever do that with the kids, right? Your son did this. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. Again, the parable is about the story of two sons. The first one squandered the wealth. The first one had the shame. The first one had the sin to their story. The first one's like, I've done too much. You can't handle it. Therefore, I'll be your hired servant. But the second one had always been in the house and yet still felt like an outsider. And not because of necessarily what the father was doing. We know that God's love is perfect. Create an environment. We're going to read about that here in a moment. But here's the thing. The second son was doing the things of the father, but he's like so many of us, always looking up saying, God, you watching this? Or maybe if you don't get that, he's like me when Dana comes home, like, Dana, I did the dishes for you today. Aren't you proud? And we can't belong. Because we think that somehow the only reason that God keeps us around and the only reason that he loves us is because of what we do for him. Or that we're good enough. Or smart enough. Or kind enough. Or compassionate enough. We're still empty. In fact, we're so empty that we seethe when we see people who shouldn't have a party thrown for them get a party thrown for them. Say, can't you see all that I've done for you? We seethe when things don't work out like we thought they should work out. Can't you see what I've done for you, God? I must not belong. You must not really care about me. Because if you cared about me, you would take note of my portfolio is good. I deserve that job. I deserve that promotion. I deserve that fill in the blank of whatever it is for you. But because our belonging is tied to our work, we can never just be. Some never leave the house and still don't know that they're beloved. Verse 31 says, his father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Again, what if there's more than one way to be lost? What if there's more than one way to be a stranger? What if there's more than one way for us to feel like we don't belong? What if in one way it's because of our sin and our shame and our brokenness? What if in the other way it's because we somehow have to feel like we have to achieve to fit in? And you're like, well, why do I do that? Because your entire life you have been taught, if you're not smart enough, you won't fit in that group. If you're not good enough, you won't get into that college. If you don't keep up with everybody, you'll get left behind. This is ingrained in our culture. And we can't imagine that there's a God who loves you right where you are at. We can't imagine being able to belong and not have to earn it. Now, here's where I want to make sure that I create some understanding about what biblical belonging is and how it's different than worldly belonging. Because in worldly belonging, what we're looking for is acceptance. And so we feel like that we have to do this thing or to fit in, or we have to somehow put on a show in order to be accepted. And we sometimes take that back. Or on the flip side, God, you just accept me right where I'm at, and you're just good, and I can sin, and I can do whatever I want to, and you just accept me. That's what belonging means for some people. The problem with that is that biblical belonging means that God invites you to belong right where you are at so that you can become who he created you to be. Because there are people in our culture who what they strive for is simply just pure acceptance. And even when they get that acceptance, they still feel lonely. They still feel lost. They still feel like they don't belong. And the scriptures have something to say about this, because what happens in this particular parable is that God invites this younger son specifically to enter into a position of belonging, and then he places a ring on his finger and a robe on his shoulders and shoes on his feet, which transforms him. He doesn't just belong, he becomes the son. Or let me say it this way. You are both in a state of belonging before God. At the same time, he is shaping you to become more like him. You belong as sons and daughters, but he's shaping you to look like Jesus. There is a belonging and becoming that is here. In fact, I would say it this way, spiritual formation or being shaped further into the image of Jesus is the inheritance of those who belong in the Father's house. We get to belong so that we can become who God created us to be. This is the great conversion. It's the shift from belonging to the world to belonging to Jesus. Belonging to Jesus. But I don't think he can handle me. I don't think he can do it. When you chase other things, when you strive and try to achieve his affection, do you know what I think that God wants to say to you? I miss you. For the last several years, I've had to transition from that time in life where your kids are in high school and they're kind of all around to eventually sending kids off to college or having them not around as much. And so there's something that interesting that happens there is that you miss them. And what's interesting about missing them is I struggled with this because I'm like, I don't want to tell them that I miss them because I don't want them to feel bad. Isn't that weird logic? In my mind, I was like, you know, but if I tell my kids I miss them, if I tell them that I miss them, they're going to feel bad as if they've done something wrong. And it's interesting because I had someone tell me at one point, they're like, David, why do you feel like that? Because if somebody from Michigan called you up and said, David, I don't want to call for any other reason. I don't have any needs. I don't have any hidden agenda. David, I just want you to know that you are missed. If somebody called you up and told you, David, I just want you to know you are missed, how would it make you feel? And I was like, well, it would make me feel valued. It'd make me feel seen. It'd make me feel safe. It would make me feel loved. And so maybe there's somebody here this morning that for whatever reason you have allowed there to become distance between you and God, and you are wrestling to figure out how to belong. Maybe you've wandered to a far-off land, or maybe you can't imagine that God would allow you to belong because of your sin, because of your shame, because of your story. And God just simply wants to say to you, I miss you. Or maybe you have been in the house the entire time, but you are so focused on trying to prove yourself to God. God still wants to look at you and say, I miss you. I miss you. And when you hear those words from him, that you would know that you're safe, that you're seen, and you are loved. There's nothing mystical or magical about these altars that are at the front of our church. If you don't even know what that is, don't worry, you're not going to come forward and you're going to have to sacrifice something physical on the altar. But there is something beautiful about bringing ourselves into the presence of God and allowing this to represent just a physical way for us to do that. And say, God, I'm done trying to strive for your affection when you just want me to belong. And I'm done trying to cover up what I've done or to not bring the fullness of who I am in front of you when you just want me to belong. Because when we become a people who knows that our value and our belovedness and our seenness and our safety and our love doesn't come from striving and doesn't come from hiding, we can experience the love of God. And when we experience the love of God, we can be not only just receivers of that love, but givers of that love. So as the team sings the song, I want to invite you, if you feel led by the Spirit, to respond. To simply say, I want to come into God's presence. I want to bring my sin and my shame into God's presence so that he can redeem and restore. And I want to bring my achievement and my need to feel like I have to do it all into God's presence so he can say, stop striving so hard. Belong and let him teach you how to become who you were created to be. So as the song is sung, you can stand right where you're at. You can kneel at your seat, or you can come down to this altar as a way of responding to the love of God. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your space and your time. Holy Spirit, would you move in our midst? In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. God, we come before you. We run to you knowing that you ran to us first. And we fall down at your feet. And we hear your words to us. I miss you. I love you. You are my beloved. And we recognize in this moment, God, that we can bring all of our sin and all of our junk and all of our brokenness and all of our shame and all of our doubt and all of our frustrations into your presence. And you look at us and you say, this is my beloved. I love you. And as we even were reminded last week, that nothing can separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus. And then we also know in that moment that our tendency is that we have been shaped to strive and to achieve and to prove ourselves. And so God, we commit in this moment that my worth and my value doesn't come from my achievements. It doesn't come from my work. But it comes from a Father who sees me as son, who sees me as daughter, who loves me because he created me. Teach us, God. Teach us how to sit in our belovedness. Teach us how to be with you and know that we are loved so that we don't go chase belonging from other people, but we receive it from you first. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me this morning? One of the many ways that we can simply do something physical that says, I belong to Christ, is through the sacrament of baptism. And next week, we will be having a beach baptism at the beach. And we have many people that are being baptized. But if the Lord spoke to you today and you're interested in baptism, we're going to have a meeting right here in the sanctuary. Come to the front right after service and hear more about what baptism is. And you can begin to ask questions about whether or not maybe you are someone who should be baptized. And here's what I would say. If you've been thinking about it, come and learn more about it. It's one of the most beautiful ways for God simply to say, you belong. So as you go today, do not go as a people who are wandering. Do not go as a people who are trying to fit in. Do not go as a people who are trying to prove yourself to everybody. Walk in the authority and confidence that your Heavenly Father says you belong. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.